I hope everybody is doing well. I wanted to, we're about to start, we started a little bit last week, the brisa on the bottom of Ches Amud Beis. And we might have even touched upon, I think we read the first brisa. I want to go over it, and we have touched a little bit upon Rashi and maybe the beginning of Tosfos. But I actually, before we go back into it, I want to give you a few pieces of data. And this is, I often do this kind of thing. I don't know how far we're going to go with this, but I do this when I teach my students in YU. When you approach a sugya, to think about what is the vision of the Rishonim? Meaning, what is it that the Rishonim see? What are the pieces of the puzzle that they have to put together? I could just read this Gemara with you now. I could use Rashi. There's maybe a contradiction between the two brises. I could explain how maybe they don't contradict one another, or I could tell you that they contradict one another and it's a machlokes, and we could move on. That would be very easy. And I don't think that you would be you wouldn't feel that you were left in the dark. But in preparing the sugya, we're not going to do every one of the Rishonim on it, but I think it's a wonderful example of when you have broader vision, you see that there are larger issues to grapple with. So I wanted to look at three sources that the Rishonim have to use to factor into their puzzle, and then read the Gemara, and then at least to identify what some of the problems might be. Some of them are going to jump off the page at you, but first you have to have the other three sources. So the first one I want to start with, that we're going to start rereading on Ches Amud Beis about five, six lines before they get very wide. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. But before we do that, I want to turn ahead. One of the sources is an Our Gemara, just a daf later. And then I'm going to share with you my screen, my Bar Ilan, for the other two sources that are found in other Masechtos. So let's start with the Mishnah on daf Tes Amud Beis. Because what both of our brises are dealing with are the liminal period. What do you do with the period between dawn, Amud HaShachar, or Alos, and the period of Hanetzachama, of the sun rising? Clearly, I don't think there's an opinion that disagrees that after the sun rises, you cannot read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. It is not night, and it is not the time that people are sleeping, at least normal people. Okay. Everybody is going to agree that before dawn, before Alos HaShachar, that it is night. It is certainly night. That's for sure. And you're not going to be able to yotze Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis. It's a question. We had a machlokas already in the Mishnah about Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. And part of it in the machlokas was about what's the definition of Zman Shechiva. And we're going to talk about that a little more, even in our Gemara on Daf Tesam and Aleph in a little bit. But before Alos and after Hanetz are periods of time that are fairly clear. The tricky part is what do you do with that liminal state in between Alos HaShachar and Hanetz HaChama? And I'm not we've already spoken about we did the Bein HaShmashos issue when we started Maseches Brachos. Hanetz HaChama's time is very clear. That's sunrise. The only complicated part about sunrise is that you can either see sunrise as a point in time, or you can see it as a process. Most Rishonim see it as a point in time. There's a fascinating Baal HaMor on our sugya who actually sees it as a time period, meaning this before Hanetz HaChama, during Hanetz HaChama, and after Hanetz HaChama. Most Rishonim don't see it that way, but certainly Hanetz HaChama is pretty clear. Amud HaShachar, Alos HaShachar, dawn, is, I don't know, some amount of time before that. The Gemara in one place suggests it might be 4 milin, maybe it's less than that. Whatever it is, it's some time, a period before, it doesn't really concern us right now. Okay, so now, if we take a look at the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah asks the important question, Me'im Asai Korin Eshma B'Shachris. The Mishnah is right in the middle of the page on Tes Amud Beis. When can you read Kriya Shema in the morning? So the Tanakhama says, Mishayakir bin Tcheles Alavan, when you can distinguish between Tcheles and Lavan. The Gemara is going to talk about which Tcheles, which Lavan. I mean, if you had two colors next to one another, blue and white, it should pretty be easy to tell the difference. Then you might even be able to tell the difference between them at night. So the Gemara is going to end up saying it means when you have Tzitzis and the Tcheles and the Lavan are mixed together and it's not easy to see. So that's what it means when you have enough light that you can be makir ben tcheles lalavan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ben tcheles lekarti. Rabbi Eliezer says that it's the difference between the color of Tcheles and the color of Karti, which are kreshim or leeks. It's some type of a green. So you can imagine that they're a green and blue are much harder to tell the difference between in dim light than with white and blue. Presumably, Rabbi Eliezer's time is somewhat later after dawn, after dawn. And one thing that should be clear in the Mishnah, doesn't say that you can read Kriya Shema Me'alos HaShachar. Right? Me'alos HaShachar is earlier than these periods. There's first Alos HaShachar, then there's Misha Yakir ben Tcheles LaLavan, then there's Misha Yakir ben Tcheles LaKarte. That's the beginning time of Zaman Kriya Shema, one of those two times. And then, my Mishnah has in parentheses, V'gomra, I'm not sure it matters, Ad Honetz HaChama, until the rising of the sun. And just a grammatical side note, it's a very popular expression. People say, I'm davening at Netz. There is a word Netz, but I think it's probably a bird of prey. The term that one actually is looking for is Honetz. It's an infinitive of the Hippo Binyan. It's Honetz HaChama. So you should just tell people you're davening Netz, otherwise they're going to look at you funny. But nonetheless, just for being, pedantic, it's Honetz HaChama. And Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Sha'os, Shekein Derech B'nayim Lachim, Lamod B'Shalosh Sha'os. So Rabbi Yoshua says no, that the terminal period, and some of you are probably mopping your brows in relief, the terminal period of Zman Kriya Shema is not Honetz HaChama, as the Tanakhama would have it, because then I suspect our Shachris Minyanim would have to start a lot earlier, especially on Shabbos. But rather, Rabbi Yoshua says up until the end, until 3 hours. We assume it means, by the way, the end of the third hour. There was a Gemara we learned on Daf Gilam Amud Beis that strongly suggested that it was the beginning of the third hour, but that's not the way we paskin. We paskin at Sof Shalosh Shavos, until the end of the third hour. Shekein derech malachim lamod b'shalosh shavos, because kings typically get up at the end of 3 hours. I'm not sure why kings get up later, either because they were up so late the previous night working so hard, or just because they can sleep late, whatever it is. But b'nei malachim are omed at b'shalosh shavos. Now, this, by the way, does, as an aside, raise a fascinating question. What are b'nei malachim doing until shalosh shavos? Presumably, I would have said sleeping. In which case...
sleeping, right.
In which case, why isn't that called Zman Shchiva? I know it's Zman Kima. Most people get up, but it's also Zman Shchiva. So the Rishonim, actually, the Rashba and the Ramban have a debate about this issue. Because precisely to avoid this question of, well, maybe b'di'evit you could read Zman Mid Kriya Shema Shel Arvis until the third hour of the day because the kings are sleeping. So the Ramban says the kings aren't sleeping. The kings are just hanging out in bed. So it's not called Zman Shchiva. But it's still Zman Kima because they're still, Kima means getting out of bed. Shchiva apparently means sleeping, not getting into bed. Okay, which by the way is actually what we hold. We hold Zman Kriya Shema is all night. It means time when people are sleeping, not when they go to sleep. But we hold that Kriya Shema Shachris ends relatively early in the day, because we hold it's only the time when people are getting up, not the time when people are up. But anyway, we'll put that aside for the moment. But that the Ramban says they're up, so it's no longer called Zman Shchiva, but they're Ne'ar B'mitasam. They're awake in bed. I don't know, they're reading the New York Times or something. They don't quite get out of bed. The alternative, the Rashba suggests, is that it's true, kings are sleeping then, but kings are such a mi'uta de mi'uta. It's such a tiny minority. A minority is a minority. We don't count that for the purposes of Zman Shchiva. Okay, and then the Gemara says, "Mikan akori mikan ve'elech lo hifsid ka'adam akori b'Torah." If you read it after 3 hours, you're allowed to eat Kriya Shema. It's a mitzvah Talmud Torah. But so it's fine. You get that mitzvah, but you didn't fulfill Kriya Shema. The Gemara does say here, by the way, that you can make brachos. In other words, lo hifsid brachos. The question of how long you can make brachos. So in Shulchan Aruch, I think it may turn out to be a machlokas till one more hour or till chatzos. I believe the Rambam's position is you can make Berachos Kriya Shema all day. All right, well, we will come back to that. But what I wanted to emphasize for our purposes in looking at this Mishnah is that the beginning time of Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris in the Mishnah, no one argues, is before Honetz HaChama. It's some significant period of time, in fact. If I had to estimate these Shi'urim, Mishiyakir bin Tcheles Lekarti, I'd say, for sure, these days, 40 minutes before, you can tell between Tcheles Lekarte and certainly Tcheles Alavan, maybe even a little. I'd say around 40 minutes is a pretty good bet that you can see, maybe even earlier. So it's significantly before Honetz HaChama. And Honetz HaChama, might even be the terminal period for Kriya Shema, although we don't paskin that way. Okay, fine. Now, in the Gemara, there is a very famous statement of Abaye. If you look in our Gemara, skip over a little bit, skip down to the fifth line. So, the fourth line, the Gemara says, "V'acherim omer mishayira es chavera richuk dalit amos biaki renim." They have a different shir for Zman Kriya Shema after dawn. If you can recognize someone you know, I think the Yerushalmi says, someone you know well, but not so well. Within four amos, you can already identify them. So then that's the time you can already say Kriya Shema. Amar Rav Huna, halacha ka'achirim. Rav Huna says we paskin like achirim, and so we do. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, letfilin, or some have letfila ka'achirim. Some say, let's leave it this way, letfilin. You can put on tfilin already at the shir of achirim. And the Kriya Shema, however, is kivosikin. Kriya Shema, and the question is what this means, but it probably means either lechatchila or mitzvah min hamofar. Maybe lechatchila you can read as soon as mishayakir es chavera, when you recognize your friend, but mitzvah min hamofar is to read it as vasikin. How did the vasikin read it? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, vasikin hayu gomrim osa im hanetzachama. The vasikin would finish Kriya Shema with the rising of the sun. And the Gemara then explains, Tanya Nami Hach, we have a braisa that teaches the same thing as Abaye said. Vasikin hayu gomrim osa im hanetzachama. Why? As the Ramban points out in his Sefer Melchamos, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the purpose of Vasikin is not to read Kriya Shema right before sunrise, but rather to daven at the first moment of the full-fledged day, meaning when the sun rises. Now, why is it that you want to read Kriya Shema then right before sunrise? The answer is because we have another idea we've spoken about already. Smichas ge'ula l'tfila. You want to finish Goal Yisrael, Kriya Shema u'birchoseha, and then immediately begin your Amida. So therefore, if you're supposed to l'chatchila daven at the first moment after the sun rises, and we'll see, the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk, then you have to say Kriya Shema, finishing it right up until that point. And Amar Rabbi Zeira, the Gemara continues, my kra'a,
Rabbi, where are you reading?
We're on Daf Tes Amud Beis in the Gemara. We're now on
You're still on Tef Tet Amud Beis.
Yira'ucha im shemesh v'lifnei yareach dor dorim. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere says that it's mitzvah l'espalal im dimdum echama. Ideally, you should daven mincha right at the end of the day, right before sunset, and you daven shachris right after sunrise. So, what we see from this Gemara and the Mishnah is the following. Zman Kriya Shema, probably lechatchila, starts at some point after dawn, but significantly before sunrise. In its ideal state, you should read Kriya Shema right before sunrise, although that may not be about Kriya Shema, that may be about tefillah plus smichas ge'ula l'tefillah. In other words, you want tefillah to be right after sunrise, and in order to have smichas ge'ula l'tefillah, therefore you want to read Kriya Shema with its brachos right before sunrise. But that's not really about Kriya Shema. Okay, and then there's the possibility, and this in fact is the way many hold, is that reading it after, I know this is not going to go over well, reading at Kriya Shema after the sunrise is b'di'eved. You're yotze for the first 3 hours. Not l'chatchila, but b'di'eved. There are many Rishonim who hold that way. It's a little surprise. It was a little jarring to me to read this. That's not what Minog Yisrael is. That's very clear. But nonetheless, many Rishonim understand that the l'chatchila time for Kriya Shema begins with sometime after dawn when you can see a little bit, when there's sunlight, and it goes l'chatchila until sunrise, and after sunrise, b'di'eved, you can read for the next 3 hours. Okay.
Does that include the brachos? In other words, you're supposed to finish Gaal Yisrael at the moment of Hanetz. Because if you finish Hashem Elokeichem Emes, you still have the whole Emes V'yatziv to daven.
So if you asked me, I would say the following. I have not seen the Rishonim discuss this. I've always assumed that Birchos Kriya Shema actually has a din of tefillah, not a din of Kriya Shema. I say that because the way we paskin, if you read Kriya Shema in the fourth hour of the day, you say Birchos Kriya Shema. And that also happens to be, according to one shita, the end of Zman Tefillah. So I've always assumed that Birchas Kriya Shema, because they're not a Birchas HaMitzvah, that's clear. Birchas Pasht, the Pshan is Birchas Kriya Shema, is not a brach on the mitzvah. Like you make Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah Sovet Zivana on the Tilas Lulav and you wave the Lulav. No, they're brachos of a different nature, they're Birchas HaSheva. I always assume they have the Din in Tefillah. So if one assumes that ideally Zman Kriya Shema is L'chatchila over at Hanetzach Hama, I don't necessarily assume it includes the brachos. And as I would say, if you read Kriya Shema, you fulfilled your obligation L'chatchila, but you're not going to get the mitzvah vasikin of Tefillah if you still have to say MSB Yatziv before you get to Tefillah. But I would think that from the vantage point of Kriya Shema, your Yotzei, you know, with flying colors, gold star, if you finish Kriya Shema before Hanetzach Hama, regardless of the brachos. But you won't accomplish Smichas Gula Tefillah and Tefillah with the sunrise if you don't also finish MSV Yatziv before. Okay. So this is Gemara number one. Okay. This should probably not surprise anybody. If you've ever learned the Mishnayos, the brachos, if you learn the Gemara, this makes sense. Kriya Shema starts sometimes before sunrise. And ideally, at least ideally, you would do it kivasikin, and probably you can read till the end of the third hour. That's what this is not a revelation, I hope, to too many of us. Next, I'm now going to share my screen, and I want to share with you, there are two Gemaras we're going to look at in the Bar Ilan. The first is actually a Mishnah, where I'm kind of waving my pointer here. There's only one Mishnah that you can see on the daf right now. This is the Gemara Megillah daf Chaf Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says the following: In Koren Es HaMegillah, Velo Molin. You can't read Megillah. And remember, in the times of the Mishnah, there is no mention whatsoever reading Megillah at night. There's only one Megillah reading in the Mishnah, and that's during the day, and that is the primary Megillah reading. Even today, where our minhag is to read it at night as well. All right. So in Koren Es HaMegillah, you can't read the Megillah, which is a day mitzvah. Velo Molin. You're not allowed to do Bris Milah, and Bris Milah has to be Uvayom Hashmini during the day. Velo Tovlin. Vilo Mazin, if you're talking about Tefillah and Hazah, let's say for purifying oneself from Tumas Meis, which have to be done during the day. V'chein Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom Lo Titbol. I'm not going to go into the details of this right now. Ad Shetonetz Hachama, until the sun rises. But V'chulon She'asu Misha'ala Amud HaShachar is kosher. If you read, so L'chat Chela, you're not allowed to do these mitzvahs, the mitzvahs hayom, until sunrise. But b'di'eved, if you do them after Amud HaShachar, it's kosher. Now, two observations about this Mishnah. Number one, the assumption of the Mishnah is that from the time of dawn, however you define that exactly, but it's before Misha Yakir's, any of the Misha Yakir's, from the time of dawn halachically, is already considered mid-oraisa day. That's why, b'di'eved, you yotzei all the mitzvahs. What most Rishonim say is the reason why you're not allowed to do it l'chatchila is because the Chachamim were afraid people would make a mistake. So if we tell you, not before sunrise, sunrise is clear to everybody. The sun rises. But dawn may be hard to tell, and therefore we tell people l'chatchila, you shouldn't do any of these mitzvahs until after sunrise. But if you did it after dawn, you are yotzei. Number one. Number two, what is missing from this list?
Shema.
Kriya Shema. What happened to the mitzvah Kriya Shema? The point that Baal Hamor makes. What happened to the mitzvah Kriya Shema? Why is Kriya Shema not here? And if in fact the omission of Kriya Shema is significant, then there are one of two obvious possibilities. Why is Kriya Shema not listed? Either because l'chatchila you could do it from Amud HaShachar, or at least earlier than Hanetz, and that's why it's not listed in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is only listing things that you are l'chatchila not allowed to do until after sunrise. Alternatively, the Mishnah might not be listing it. This is not what you or I would have said, but it's what the Baal Mor is going to say. Alternatively, the reason why the Mishnah doesn't list Kriya Shema is because if you do Kriya Shema before Hanetzach Hama, you're not Yotzei. If you pick up a lulav, if you read the Megillah, if you do a Bris Milah before Hanetzach Hama, but after dawn, so you shouldn't have done it, but you're Yotzei because it's good Minatorah. But Kriya Shema, you're not Yotzei if you do it before sunrise. So those are just, if Kriya Shema is deliberately omitted from the Mishnah, it's either because it doesn't fall under Rule A or it doesn't fall under Rule B. Either because it's kosher l'chatchila from earlier than Hanetzachama, or because it's possible with the Eved if it's done before Hanetzachama, as opposed to all the other mitzvahs here that are Asur L'chatchila, but are good after the fact, are good with the Eved. That is source number two that I wanted to look at. And finally, source number three, because all good things come in threes, right? As Rabbi Lichtstein has taught me in homiletics. So the Gemara in Yoma speaks about the following. So I think I've mentioned this Gemara before. There's an age-old tradition of engraving people's names on plaques, right? And some of us don't like it. Some of us don't like it because we feel, mitzvah tzedakah you give because the money really belongs to God. So why do you want to claim a plaque with your name on it? But the Rashba was asked this in a tshuva. The Rashba was asked this question in a tshuva, and he said it's a minhag vasikin that people give money, they put their names on plaques. I think, in fact, in some of the shuls that were excavated in the Galilee, you have people's names, who donated and so on. Okay, fine. So thus is the halacha, whether some of the purists like it or don't like it. Fine. However, the truth is, it's not such a great investment from one vantage point, because the truth is, most shuls eventually fall into disrepair. And if not for the gift of the archaeologists who happened to uncover, Dura Europis and all the other synagogues, in the Galilee and Asia Minor, if not for that, we wouldn't even know who these people were. Their gift would have been lost to posterity. But there was one group of people who somehow, I don't know if they got plaques when they gave it, but they were zoche to the greatest plaque really in perpetuity. And those were the people who gave special things to the Beis HaMikdash, but they were recorded in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah in Yoma lists a series of people, Ben Gamla, who was a Kohen Gadol, he took the lots of the Gora Lazaza, which were made of only Eshkaroa wood, and he made them into gold. Nicanor brought his special gates to the Beis HaMikdash, right? So those people got the best plaques you could ever get, because everything, all the shuls, fell into disrepair, but the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Mishnah, has continued to be transmitted for thousands of years, and therefore they got the best possible plaque you could get. Of course, there's no way of knowing that in advance, but anyway. So it happens to be, in this context, I'm going to go back to sharing, the Gemara in Yoma is talking about the various gifts that people gave, and here it speaks about Heleni Hamalka, Helene of Adeben, who gave whatever she gave. And then the Braisa mentions something else. The Mishnah says, Heleni Imo, Munbaz HaMelech's mother, also saw Nivresha Shelzav. She gave this golden candelabra. And apparently it was placed over the Heichal. And what was special? So truth is, it was beautiful, very nice. It's a very nice gift. However, the Gemara now comments, Tana, Bisha'a Shehachama Zorachas, when the sun would shine, which means, when are we talking, but when are we at now? The sun has risen already. Nitzotzos yotzen mimena, sparks would shine, it would glimmer, and it would be glittering in the sun. V'hakol yodim shehigia zman kriyashma. Everybody would know that zman kriyashma had arrived. Now the Gemara asks a question. Meisve, is that true? Hakore yeshema shachris im anshe mishmar v'anshe maimed lo yatsa. Mitnei anshe mishmar mashkimin v'amshe maimed ma'achrim. So who was, at this point, the Gemara is thinking, who is going to see this menorah shining? It's going to be the Kohen, the people assembled in the Beis HaMikdash. So I think it's a Mishnah or Braisa says, that the Anshei Mishmar, the Kohanim, would read Kriyat Shema way early. And if you read with them, you're not Yotzei. They had to read early because they were going to be so busy with the Avoda, they didn't know if they would have time later. And the Anshei Mamad, who were the Yisraelim, you may know that there were 24 families of Kohanim. Each one would take a turn for a week serving. There were 24 Mishmaros of Leviim, and they would each take a week's turn serving. And then the rest of the Jewish people were divided up into 24 mishmaros, or mamados we should call them, and a small number of representatives would go to Yerushalayim. The rest would stay behind in their town. They had a special Kriyas HaTorah Monday through Thursday. They used to read Maaseh Bereishis, but a small number would go to the Mikdash. And they, because they were so busy watching the Karbanos, they couldn't read Kriyas Shema until later. But nobody in the Beis HaMikdash was reading Kriya Shema at Hanetz HaChama. So what was the point? Why did the Braisa say that Hileni Hamalka's menorah was the signal for Kriya Shema? For whom? The Kohanim read Kriya Shema way early, you're not Yotze with them. The Anshe Maimon read it way later after Shema and Kriya, you're not Yotze. And the reason they could read it is they were both Oskim B'mitzvah. They might even technically potter from Kriya Shema. But nobody else, but they wouldn't be reading it at when the sun had just risen. So Amar Abaye, Lishar Ama de Birushalayim. No, it wasn't only the Kohanim who saw the menorah sparkling. The rest of the people in Yerushalayim saw it as well, and they knew that it was time for a Kriya Shema. So I ask you a question. What's the problem with the Gemara? It's a problem that all the Rishonim have to confront one way or the other. What's the difficulty with the Gemara in Yoma?
They should have been reading it earlier.
Correct. If you're waiting until the sun shines against the menorah, that's after sunrise. So they're reading Kriya Shema after sunrise, not davening Tefillah after sunrise. That's the question that the Rishonim are all confronted with. Now, I don't know that we're going to really take the time to explore every position there, but I'm going to give you the first two obvious positions, although it's not, I think, the position of the Baal HaMor. He cleverly has a third position, and that is the following. One position is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that the ideal time, Vasikin, is Kriya Shema, is right after the sun rises, not Tefillah. Rabbeinu Tam in Maseches Yoma and Tosfos there, that we read the Tosfos, but on that daf, Rabbeinu Tam says that the ideal time of Kriya Shema, the Vasikin, is right after Hanetz HaChama, meaning when the sun rises. That's for Kriya Shema, not for Tefillah. Most Rishonim say, no, the Vasikin is Tefillah right afterwards, and it's the Shar Amat of Yerushalayim. It's not for the Vasikin. We'll be happy if the rest of the people in Yerushalayim read Kriya Shema as soon as the sun rises. That'd be pretty good too. You know, it's not like, you know, we do often in Shul on Shabbos, I guess you have Minyan on Shabbos again now also, right? In other words, it's approaching 9 o'clock. You know, Zman Kriya Shema is like 9:10 or so Zman Kriya Shema. They weren't going up until down to the wire. As soon as the sun rose, they said Kriya Shema. Yeah, there may be a third possible answer. I know that it seems impossible, but the Baal HaMor has what seems to be a third answer. Okay. So far, what we have looked at until now should not bother you, except for maybe the one detail of the Vasikin. It seems pretty straightforward. Zman Kriya Shema Shel Arvis we discussed already. I should have mentioned this again, but we learned the first mission in the Masechta. When Rabban Gamliel's sons came in late from the party, what did he say to them? If you don't remember, you can just sneak a peek back on Daf Beis Amid Aleph. And you remember, what did he say to them?
Did you say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis?
No, but they said to him, you know, what do we do now? And he said to them, Imlo, Allah Amur HaShachar, If dawn hasn't come, then you're obligated to read. Okay, so that's fine. We understand the terminal point for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is dawn. And then what's the ideal starting point for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris? Misha Yakir. Is it Ben Tchelas Halavan, Ben Tchelas Lakarti, Misha Yakir Es Chavero? But it's Misha Yakir. It's some point after dawn, a while before sunrise, when you can start reading Kriya Shema. The terminal point of Kriya Shema is either sunrise or 3 hours later. And the ideal time to read Kriya Shema is either right before or right after Hanetz HaChama, however you have whichever position in Rishonim you adopt there. Okay, so we could leave this. And if we just like kind of skip the next, I don't know, 30 lines in the Gemara, we would all be very happy. But unfortunately, we're not going to do that. And now you're going to see the problem that all the Rishonim were confronting. So I state this as a pedagogical comment that which I mentioned earlier. When I learn this Gemara, and I don't know Shas, so I'm learning this Gemara in a vacuum. Maybe I know the next Mishnah, but I'm kind of not thinking of it. But when the Rishonim are analyzing this Gemara, they know they have all the other sources in their head. And you look at this Gemara, and it's 1 second, the pieces of the puzzle don't fit together anymore. So let's give it a shot here. All right, let's start actually from six lines. Before the lines get wide in the Gemara, we read the first few lines last time, and we're going to read it again. Rabban Gamliel Omer Bechulei Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel Halacha Kra Gamliel. So the first thing is we pass like Rabban Gamliel that obviously is all the Rishonim say Lechatchila. When are you supposed to read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? Well, when you come home in the evening, you don't say I'll eat a little, I'll drink a little, I'll take a little nap, and then I'll read Kriya Shema. No, if you Ragil Lishno Shonem Ragil Likros Kore, if you know learn a little Chumash, have a little shear, and then you say Kriya Shema, then you daven, then you eat, and you can go to sleep. So lechatchila, obviously, you always read Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis very early in the time period, like right at the beginning if you can. However, if you didn't, and it's still before dawn, you chayiv to read Kriyas Shema, and you are yotzei the mitzvah. Okay. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Pa'amim she'adam korei Kriyas Shema shtei pa'amim balayla. Achas kodem she'alam ha'shachar, v'achas le'achar she'alam ha'shachar. V'yotzei bohem yodei chovaso, achas shel yom, v'achas shel laila. So the Braisa, quoting Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in his own name, meaning not in the name of Rabbi Akiva, which is going to his Rebbe, which is going to be the second Braisa, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that sometimes you read Kriya Shema twice at night, once before dawn, once after dawn, and you yotzei both Kriya Shemas. Now, there are kind of two problems here that it might immediately be apparent. The one that the Gemara immediately, I mean, the Gemara is going to kind of put the two together anyway, but one of them is, if it in fact is Laila after dawn still, then how can you yotzei Kriya Shema Shel Shachris at that time? How can you say that you're Korei Kriya Shema Balaila and you yotzei Achas Shel Yom? That would seem to be deeply problematic. And two other questions that sort of emerge, obviously. One is an internal observation, which is, if it is still night after dawn, why can't you read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis then also? I don't know why you can read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris if it's night, but certainly I'd expect you should be able to read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis as well. And that's a question that many of the Rishonim are going to ask. The second question, which is based upon your Bekiyas now that you know the Mishnah and Megillah, that all the mitzvahs of the Yom, Midah Oraisa, you can do already at dawn, at Amud HaShachar, how can the Gemara here call after Amud HaShachar night?
Laila.
How can it call it Laila if for essentially all purposes, b'diavad, it's day? Yeah, you're supposed to wait to wave the lulav and to read the Megillah and to be mazin and to be tovel, etc. You're supposed to wait l'chatchila after an eitz, but min haTorah, the only distinction is before dawn and after dawn. So how can the Gemara say that it's called essentially Laila? Now, before we read the continuation of the Gemara, I want to put all the cards on the table. So let's skip to the top, not skip, I'm sorry, it's further on the page, okay, down. We're going to skip a few lines, and now we're going to read this on the second wide line, another Braisa. D'Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. So now it's Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai in the name of his Rebbe. Sometimes a person can read Kriya Shema twice when it's day. Once before sunrise and once after sunrise. And you can be yotzei Kriya Shema Shel Arvis and Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Now, here at least, we face really one problem. Two problems from a different angle. Firstly, if it's considered Yom even before sunrise, so then how can you read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis then? Number one. Number two, if it is considered Yom before sunrise, before Hanetzachama, why can't you also read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris then? Now, as regards to the third question that we had on the first Braisa, that's not a concern, because we do assume that before Hanetzachama is in fact day. So if you pick up a lulav, or you read the Megillah, or you blow the shofar, or you do Hazah, or Tefillah, etc., you're Yotzei B'diavad. It's only Gzeirah Midrabanan not to do it till later. So that third question is not a problem. However, there is another question that comes to the fore, is how do you put these two Braises together? If you were to step back for a second, and this is the way the Baal Hamor wants to see it, there are three periods of time around the morning. There is before dawn, there is after sunrise, and there's in between. And the question is, what is the status of that time in between? Is it day or is it night? And it would appear that these two brises are in contradiction on that point. The first brisa that says that it's called Laila even after sun, after dawn, believes that that interim period is considered night. And the second brisa that calls it Yom believes that the interim period is day. And if that is true, then these two brises are irreconcilable. And there is a very simple solution to the conflict. It's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in both cases. So is the Ramban, who doesn't see them in conflict, but says there's an easy answer the Gemara could give. Hadidei, hadirabe. The opinion that he cites first is his own opinion. The second brisa, he's citing the opinion as Rabbi Akiva, and he happens to disagree with Rabbi Akiva. It wouldn't be the first time that Rabbi Shimon disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. There's a famous brisa in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi quoted part of it in Parshas Balosha. He said, there are four things that my Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, darshans one way, and I don't darshan like he does. That's why, and it's because of that, by the way, that we celebrate Asara B'Teves, not Chamisha B'Teves. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Chamisha B'Teves. According to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, it's the 10th of Teves. Okay. So anyway, you do have to deal with what is the relationship between these two brises. Okay, so I have now put really all the cards that I'm holding in my hand on the table. Let me just review them very quickly. We have a Mishnah on Daf Tesam and Beis and Brachos that tells us that Zman Kriya Shema Lechatchila is a while before sunrise, but a little bit after dawn. That's Lechatchila time. It goes either till sunrise or till the end of the third hour. And ideally, Kriya Shema is supposed to be done right before sunrise, right after sunrise, depending on how you understand Vasikin. That's data point number one. Data point number two, the Mishnah Megillah says that the time period between Amud HaShachar and Honetzach Hama, between dawn and sunrise, for the purposes of mitzvos of the day, not mentioning Kriya Shema, though, mentioned others, Megillah, I don't remember, Shofar, Lulav, whatever it is, Hazal, Tefillah, that time period is considered day, Midoraisa. L'chatchila, the Rabbanan didn't want you to do stuff until after sunrise, but really, Me'ikar Adin, it's considered day. Number three, well, we already discussed the Gemara Yoma, that's just relates to the issue of Asikin. And then the last data points are two brises that we are now looking at in front of us, which seem to argue about what is the time period between sunrise, between dawn and sunrise. Is that called night, as the first brisa suggests, or day, as the second brisa suggests? And even though the first brisa calls it night, apparently you can read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, and it sounds like you can't read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis even though it's night. And the second brisa says that even though it's day before sunrise already, it sounds like you can't read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, but you definitely can read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. So we have a chulent here, and the question is, as opposed to making a chulent, which is easy to do, how do you sort out the ingredients and create any type of logic here? Now, what I want to first do is to work just on Rashi and Tosfos, who kind of work primarily, Rashi especially, only works internally in our Gemara. So we can probably solve most of the problems for Rashi if we're only looking at our Gemara. If we plead ignorance of the rest of Shas, of anything in the rest of Shas, then we can work things out nicely with Rashi. And the truth is, those of you who are familiar with Rashi's Derech HaLimud, or Rashi's method of Parshanut, the way he approaches a sugya, it may not be a problem. Rashi is the classic sugya Rishon. He doesn't really usually, not never, but he usually doesn't care what's going on in other sugyas. He tries to just explain and read and interpret the sugya that is in front of us. Okay. It happens to be, by the way, that Rashi has an odd relationship in this to the early Spanish Rishonim, to the Rambam and the Rif, which is the method of the Gaonim. The Rambam and the Rif also have a tendency, I don't want to say as pronounced as Rashi, to read sugyos on their own and to ignore other sugyos. And when sugyos conflict within one another, you paskin like one or you paskin like the other, and then you reject the other. That's the classic method of the Rif and the Rambam. When you see two sugyos that contradict one another, you dismiss one and you paskin like one. It means when you're reading a sugya, most of the time you don't really care what another sugya says. That is in total contradistinction to the Balei HaTosos, who pioneered the dialectical method. Wherever there are two sugyos that conflict with one another, you have to find the Kosov HaShlishi HaMachriya Beinehem. The Balei HaTosos almost never saw a conflict between two sugyos that they couldn't figure out a way to resolve and to have them working together. That is the very stark difference between the method of the Balei HaTosos, which infiltrates Spain later. So the Ramban and the Rashba have been infected, in quotes, with Tosus' method, but early Spanish Rishonim do not see things in that lens. And in that respect, Rashi is an extreme version, in that Rashi usually just sticks to the sugya. Rarely does Rashi say, ah, but about the Gemara somewhere else, how do we explain that? I mean, again, the method exists before Tosos. The Gemara does it all the time in explaining conflicting Mishnayos. But in terms of how you approach Gemara, for the Gaonim and the Rambam and the Rif, it's like somebody pressed the reset button and they forgot all about the methods of Abai and Rav and the Amoraim of reconciling things, and it's pick one or the other. Again, I don't mean to say never, but that is a very pronounced trend in early Spanish Rishonim, very different than the Balei Tosfos. So we're going to start with Rashi. And Rashi here, let's first read the Gemara and we'll see how Rashi explained it. So the Gemara, now going back to the third to last medium width line, on the fifth word, the Gemara says Hagufa Kasha. Right? They just quoted the Brice of Rabbi Shimon, that if you sandwich Kriya Shemaz around dawn, you're Yotze both Kriya Shemaz, even though it's night during both times. The Gemara says Hagufa Kasha. Amris pa'amim sh'adam korei Kriya Shema shtei pa'amim balayla. You said that sometimes a person reads Kriya Shema twice at night. Alma la'achar she'ya la'amur ha'shachar. Lo yahu. You see that even after dawn, before sunrise, it's still considered night. V'hadar tani, and then you turn around and you tell us, yotze b'hem yidei chovaso achas shoyom v'achas shalayla, that you can be yotze mitzvahs Kriya Shema shoyom during that time period that you just called night. Alma yimamahu. It's actually day then. So the Gemara says, lo. Le'olam lel yahu. Really, it is night. Rashi just says, lel yahu. Ad, third to last line in Rashi on the page. Ad ha'neitachama. Really, it's really considered night halachically. But why do you call it day then? And why yotze kriya shema shashachres? V'had kari le'yom. De'ika inshe de'kaime b'ayhi shaita. There are people who are already getting up at that time. And it sounds like, by the way, is this a majority or minority of people who are getting up at that time?
Minority.
Sounds like a minority. I mean, some people are starting to get up at the time, but it may be a minority. So, because there are people getting up at the time. Now, what does that mean for our purpose? So Rashi explains, the bottom Rashi, so if you read Rashi the simple way, Rashi says the following. Legabe all mitzvos, it is still night. Le'olam le'yo. Why do we say that you're reading Kriya Shema shel yom? You're reading Kriya Shema during the day if it's really night. And why do we say you're yotze that? I'm sorry, what right? Why do we say that you can read Kriya Shema during the day, during that time period if it's really night? The answer is because Kriya Shema does not have the same definition of day and night that other mitzvahs do. There's a lot of overlap, but Kriya Shema is determined by Zman Shchiva and by Zman Kima, not by Yom and Laila. So when it comes to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah or the mitzvah of Lulav or the mitzvah of Shofar, and the assumption is it must be a mitzvah done during the day, or Mila or Vayom Hashmini Mol B'Sar L'So, halachically speaking, day is Me'alos HaShachar Ad Seis HaKochavim, the pasuk in Ezra Nehemiah that we quoted on Daf Beis Amid Beis. However, Kriya Shema is not, the Torah doesn't say, V'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta v'am v'shivtecha b'beisecha v'latecha v'aderech u'vayom u'valayla. U'valayla u'vayom. It doesn't say that. It says, u'v'shalch b'chav kumecha, when people go to sleep, which may not be fully coterminous with night, and same thing for u'v'kumecha. Okay, so if you read like Rashi does, and he's going to read the second brisa the same way. Read the second brisa, and he doesn't explain much. So then the answer is very simple. The answer is, for Rashi, that even after, for the first brisa, after dawn is still night. Day doesn't begin until Neitzachama. Day doesn't begin until Neitzachama. But you can read Kriya Shema earlier because it's considered Zman Kima. Zman Kima begins with dawn, and Yom begins with Hanetz Hachama. Okay, now there's one glaring problem in Rashi, but it's not Rashi's problem, which is the Mishnah and Megillah. the Mishnah Megillah says that that it's Yom for all mitzvahs. Maybe not Kriya Shema, but certainly for all other mitzvahs, Hayom. Yom begins with Amud HaShachar. So if take it to its logical conclusion, you're allowed to read Kriya Shema during that time because it's considered Zman Kima. You're allowed to do all other mitzvahs because it's considered Yom. So what do you mean? What do you mean? It's not Laila at all. It's not Laila for Kriya Shema. It's not Laila for other mitzvahs. But Rashi's a Sugya Rishon, so he's not going to tell you what to do with that Gemara. There is another problem for Rashi, but that's relatively easily surmountable. Tosus already addresses this. We're going to read Tosus because Tosus, at least initially, seems to read the first Tosus that we're going to learn actually does come to the conclusion like Rashi. When are you allowed, according to the Mishnah, to read Kriya Shema Shel Shachris? What time? On the Mishnah on Daf Pesamid Beis. Can you read at Amud HaShachar? The answer is not L'chatchila.
No.
You have to wait a little bit, Mishayakir. So you could either say, there are two ways of dealing with this. You could say that when Rabbi Shimon says, Pam achas kodem alos hashachar, and then achas la'achar alos hashachar, he doesn't mean immediately after alos hashachar, it means a little bit after alos hashachar. But bottom line is, most of the period between hanetz, between dawn and sunrise, between Amud HaShachar and hanetz, that period is really reserved for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. And you could go a step further, even though l'chatchila you're not supposed to read it until Mishayakir, b'di'evan, maybe you don't say Kriya Shema already after Amud HaShachar. So that's a problem that is resolvable. But what do you do with the Mishnah Megillah? That's very difficult, because if you read the Gemara, the way Rashi seems to have read it, it doesn't read straight at all. The Mishnah Megillah says, Mitzvah Hayom, I'll start with Amud HaShachar Min HaTorah. And but Rabbanan, they say, wait till Honetz. And here you're basically saying it's night, except for Kriya Shema. Okay. So again, Rashi doesn't have to answer that question. It's not his problem. You know, maybe this Rabbi Shimon, he's a Tana, he disagrees with the Mishnah in Megillah. Maybe the Mishnah in Megillah holds really probably like, what is the next opinion? So now let's read
Rabbi.
Yes.
Rabbi, what is Rashi saying the Megillah so good?
I don't know. We can look at it quickly, but I'm not sure there's what to say, but let's take a momentary. I'm going to share the screen. Let's take a quick look together if he says anything. Hold on. Here we go. One second. Can you see? Oh, one second. I have to find. Here we go. Okay. Let's see. I just got to make this. Hold on. I can't see the whole. I have to move it. So you don't know, but you're being able to see some of you is blocking me. See Rashi. Okay. So now we're looking at the Gemara Rashi and the Gemara Megillah. I'm just scanning quickly. So it's interesting. Rashi does say, make one interesting comment on Hanetzacham. I never noticed this. I can't highlight for you, but I can kind of wave my pointer there. Rashi writes, Ad Hanetzachama sheyetle misafek laila. Probably all that Rashi means, it's not that there's a suffix of what the time period in between is. He just means that it's not always easy to tell when it's after dawn. But once it's sunrise, there's no question it's not night anymore. Okay, now the last Rashi. This is the one that's relevant. Kulan sha'afdu. Dimei alosa shachar yimamahu. That from dawn, you see it, Josh? From dawn is day. Not everybody's an expert to know what is considered amud hashachar. Therefore, they tell you to wait till hanetz because the sun is the sun. You can see the sun, you know it's halachic. So Rashi here reads the Mishnah as you would expect him to read it, right? No surprises. But that means it doesn't resolve well, or there's no obvious resolution with our Gemara, with Rashi's reading of our Gemara here. So let's now go and read. Let's actually read. It'll be better this way. I want to read the rest of the Gemara for today, and I don't know if we'll have time for Tosos now, but then next week we'll review, and then we'll start to plunge into the Rishonim and spend the next year on that. The Gemara now quotes simple statement on the first wide line in the Gemara. Amar Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, that's very nice, very straightforward. He paskins like Rashbi. Fine. Now the Gemara says the following: Ika Demasne Lahod de Rav Acha Bar Chanina Aha. We just quoted Rav Acha Bar Chanina in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levini, paskening the Kishim Yochai. But there are those who quote the statement of Rav Acha on a different brisa involving Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. D'Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Pa'amim she'adam korei kriyashma shrei pa'amim bayom. Achas kodam ha'netachama, once before sunrise. Ve'achar la'achar ha'netachama, once after sunrise. Ve'yotzei ba'an yivdei chovaso, achas shayom ve'achas shalayla. And you fulfill both kriyashma shayom and kriyashma shel layla. Hagufa kasha, the Gemara says there's an internal contradiction. Amris, the Braisa says, pa'amim she'adam korei kriyashma shrei pa'amim bayom. You're reading Kriya Shema twice during the day. Alma kodem hanetzachama is yamamahu, is considered day. V'hadar tani, but then the Braisa turns around and says, yotzei b'ayim v'chovaso, acha shoyom v'acha shalayla. The fact that you yotzei Kriya Shema shalarvis means, alma lel yahu, same, exact same question, mirror image of the first piece. The Gemara says, lo la'olam yamamahu. Really, it is day. V'hai v'karu lo lel yahu. The ika in shade the ganu vaishaita. It's called night because some people are still sleeping at that time. If you take a look at Rashi, the had the kavru lelai lelya, the top of daf tesamen al, the had the kavru lelya the kaamar yotze bo kriyash mashalayla, mishum the ika the ganu. There are those who are sleeping, and now Rashi says ukrinave uveshachtacha. In other words, in the first brisa, you could read kriyashma shel shachris. At night, after dawn, even though it was night, because it was uvikumecha. And now we're saying that you, according to the second brisa, you can read kriyashma shalayla, as long as it's before dawn, before sunrise, even though it's halachically day, because it's still considered uvishachbecha, because there are people who are sleeping. Okay. And now, Amar Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, halachak Rabbi Shimon sh'amar mishum, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so this is the second brisa, but Rashi is consistent in his interpretation, explaining both halves the same way. Then when the Gemara says it's really night in the first brisa, for the first brisa, or when it says it's really day in the first brisa, that means for all other purposes. But for our purpose, for Kriyashma, well, in the first brisa, after dawn is already day, it's already Ufkumecha. And in the second brisa, before sunrise, is still considered night. It's uvashoch becha, for the purposes of creation. Okay. We need a little more. We got to go to the two dots here. Amar Rabbi Zeira uvavad shalayomar hashkivenu. It's one thing to read kriyashma shel arvis at a very late time, but provided that you don't say hashkivenu. Asking God to cause us to lie down and give us sleep and peace and protect us and so on is a little ridiculous when, you know, when the sun is 2 minutes below the horizon or dawn is about to come. Rashi claims, most of the Rishonim disagree, if you look at Rashi on the second line, Uvad shalayoma hashkivenu, hakorei kriyashma shalayla shachris samuch la'amur hashachar lo yomar hashkivenu, she'ein od zman tchila shchiva el zman tzov shchiva. So Rashi says, this goes back on the first brisa even, that when you say kriyashma right before dawn, I don't know what right before dawn is. I don't know, you know, what the period is exactly, but you don't say hashkivenu because it's already the end of the period of going to sleep. You don't say hashkivenu. And other Rishonim, Tosus immediately disagrees. Tosus says, just the way it's located in the Gemara, it would appear to be going on the last statement. It also makes more sense to me just from a, this may be lazy, but it makes life much simpler. If you say that you can't say hashkivenu on the second brisa, I understand what the parameters are, what the contours are, because it means if you read kriyashma after dawn, before sunrise, that's not called man shchiva for hashkivenu purposes. But obviously any time before dawn, you could read it. It provides clarity. That doesn't make it right, but Tosus's reading provides a kind of clarity. Interestingly enough, one other detail in this is if you don't say hashkivenu, you're violating the din of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kriyashma shalarvis, you have two brachas before and two brachas after. So most Rishonim, I think, just assume you lost your chance to say that bracha. But some Rishonim quote the Ritz Geos, who just says you leave out the words hashkivenu. Now, you leave out any mention of asking God, but you say the rest of the bracha, because you're supposed to have four brachos for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Okay. Now, there's one last part, which is crucial in the discussion of the Rishonim of how to understand this, of what's going on, and maybe how to resolve these two brises. Or again, according to Rashi, it would appear that these brises are irreconcilable. There's a basic machlokas. What is the time period between dawn and sunrise considered, probably for all mitzvahs in general, and in the reverse for Kriya Shema? Right? So for Rashi, then you cannot seem to reckon, you can't, doesn't, that doesn't seem to be a reconciliation for these two brises. But one final story. He also Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. When Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Amar Had Rabbi Acha Rabbi Hanina Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The story, the psak halacha of Rabbi Acha in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lav b'feirush itmar ela michlala itmar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi actually never said it explicitly. Someone made an inference from a story that this idea is actually amazingly fascinating. Could you imagine that I went to Shir, I went to Rav Shechter Shir, and he said something, and I made an extrapolation from something he said, and now I quote Rav Shechter as saying my extrapolation. You would fire me or something like that. You would discipline me. You say, what are you doing? How can you quote Rav Shechter? He didn't say that. He said A. You infer B from it, right or wrong. You could say Rav Shechter said A, and I want to infer B from it. But that never seemed to have bothered the Gemara. Very often, there are about probably like 20 places in Shas where we have this, where the Gemara will say that after an Amora says something, they quote him. They'll say, by the way, that wasn't explicit. It was an inference from another statement. It was an inference from a story. And some of the time, the Gemara says, it's a good inference. And sometimes the Gemara will say that, no, it's not a good inference. The Gemara will sometimes challenge it. And if it's Mechlala, what's wrong with it? And sometimes the Gemara will say, Velohi, and he got it wrong. It was a bad inference. So that's interesting. It's all right. Not our topic for now. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi never said Halacha Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or Halacha Rabbi Shimon Yochai Sh'amar Mishum Rabbi Akiva. What was the story? Ela Michlala Itmar. It was from an inference. Ha'hu Zuga de Rabbanan. They were a pair of Smicha students. The Ishtakor Behilula the Braid Rabbi Shua ben Levi. They got drunk at Rabbi Shua ben Levi's son's wedding. Now you can imagine that. They got a little bit stoned. And then by the time they woke up, they came to Rabbi Shua ben Levi and said, what do we do? Also the Kamin Shua ben Levi, Amar, Kidaihu Rabbi Shimon Lismoch Allah Bishas Hadchak. You can rely upon Rabbi Shimon is great enough to rely upon Bishas Hadchak. Now obviously we're talking about Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. We're not talking about Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. They want us, it's very late. We don't know how late, but it's either let's assume it's probably gotta be after, I think it only makes sense. It's after dawn before sunrise. So he says, you can be somech upon Rabbi Shimon, and that would appear to be the last one, the second one. Okay, and the Gemara leaves it at that. Now here's the crucial question I'm going to leave you with. I would not have thought about this on my own, but as I'm looking at the Rishonim, so it actually occurs to me, this is a major issue. Sometimes people like to say, Shas Hadchak k'diyeved dami. That when you're in a pressing situation, it's the same thing as a b'di'eved. Now, normally, b'di'eved means only after the fact. Shas hadchak is l'chatchila. I'm in this situation. Can I do it now? I'm planning to do it because it's a very, very difficult situation. Now, are those two the same thing? Do we automatically say, would we assume that shas hadchak simply means post facto? Or no, the shas hadchak means something else. It means under very pressing circumstances. What's the difference? The difference is the following. Let's say I fouled up, I messed up, I was a poshea, I behaved intentionally or stupidly, and then I find myself in a mess. Do we say that's called the shas hadchak? You know, it's after the fact. Or do we say, no, that's not called shas hadchak, that's b'di'eved, but b'di'eved it may be no good. Shas hadchak is if it weren't your fault. You find yourself in a situation be'ones, are you allowed to do it? And the question, I mentioned that in this Gemara because were these two Talmidim poshim, were they reckless, or was it an onus? As how do you regard their drunkenness? And this turns out to be a machlokas harishonim, and it's actually very relevant halacha lemaisa. The question would be, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, and quoting Rabbi Akiva, let's say I purposely didn't read, or I was poshea, and I didn't read Kriya Shema, and sunrise hasn't come yet. Am I allowed to read Kriya Shema at that point? So some Rishonim are going to say, yes, because it's b'di'evet after the fact. It's already after sun, after dawn. It's before sunrise. B'di'evet, you can read Kriyat Shema. And other Rishonim will say, no, that's called b'di'evet if you were kosheya. Shas adchak, if you were nenas, if it was ones, if it was circumstances reasonably beyond your control, then you can rely upon Rabbi Shimon b'shas hadchak. There is, of course, one other inference that will also come out of this Gemara, perhaps, is, does that mean that Rabbi Shimon would say even shalom b'shas hadchak? And as he says, k'day Rabbi Shimon l'smoch alav b'shas hadchak, and as Rabbi Shimon said it all the time, will we rely upon Rabbi Shimon only b'shas hadchak? Or does it simply mean, because, Rabbi Shimon stated his din for shas hadchak, and generally shas hadchak is a time for leniences, but even maybe Rabbi Shimon himself never actually said it beyond the situation of ones. Okay, so now we're going to stop here. Next time, we're going to have to start to stitch the pieces together. Not the way Rashi did it, which is to ignore everything else, but the way the Rif and the Baal Hamor are going to attempt, and the Baal Ei Tosfos are going to attempt to do so. And I'm going to stop here. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take them now. I'll stop the recording, but...